This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, in today from Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
It's Tuesday, and therefore time to check in on WBUR's Common Health blog with editor Carrie Goldberg. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Adam.
So you wrote a terrific post about this group of researchers from Brown, Tufts, and Harvard who are experimenting with a new treatment for depression using something called neural feedback. What is that?
Right. Neurofeedback is biofeedback for the brain. Now, biofeedback is a technique that's been around for decades in which people get real-time feedback on what their bodies are doing. And the idea is that by seeing that feedback as you are controlling your body as best you can, you learn how to do it better. So people have used it to try to lower blood pressure for all kinds of other problems, and it's also being tried for brain function.
So these researchers that you wrote about are working on applying that concept to depression, and particularly depression in adolescents. How are they doing that?
Their idea is that there seems to be a correlation between the left side of your prefrontal cortex, so the area right behind your forehead on the left side of your brain. It's sort of the area that's associated with rational thought.
Okay.
That if the left side of your prefrontal cortex is more active than the right side of your prefrontal cortex, then that seems to be linked to better mood. So they're trying to help people learn how to keep their left side of their prefrontal cortex more active than their right.
So I went down to their lab on Bow Street in Harvard Square, and I talked to Professor Lawrence Hirschberg of Brown, who is conducting the study down there. And we talked a little bit, and then he actually plugged me in, and I did this. So let's listen.
So how exactly does this work?
You have sensors on the scalp that are collecting the brain's electrical activity, and there's one in the left part in the front and one in the right part of the front. And every half second that the balance is towards more activity in the left, good things happen in the screen. And every half second that there's bad things happening, essentially, that the balance is more towards activity in the right hemisphere, the negative mood place, then bad things happen on the screen.
So the idea is that it's a mechanism by which adolescents could train themselves to favor the left frontal cortex?
Exactly. Train the brain to activate the positive mood centers in the brain. You know, it's not that different from the way we learn everything. What's new about it is that you're actually looking at brain activity itself.
So you're going to go ahead and plug me in, and I'm going to do this?
If you'd like to.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we're going to be putting 5 electrodes on. 2 electrodes on your scalp, some electrodes on your ear. Once the electrodes are affixed, then we'll turn on the feedback and you'll see your brain in action.
What am I supposed to do? Should I think happy thoughts?
You could try that. Mostly what we ask people to do is just watch and essentially get out of their own way. If you try too hard, that actually interferes with learning. Whenever positive mood centers are more active than negative mood centers, the white line is above the target or the threshold, and sounds play. The higher the pitch of those sounds, the greater activation of positive mood centers over negative mood centers.
Okay.
So it's both sounds are better than no sounds, and high pitches is the best kind of sound.
Okay.
And visually, you want that white line to go as high as you can get it.
I'm going to think about my border collie, Lucy.
Lucy must be a great dog because you're well above the balance, so that you're, you know, what this is suggesting is that right at the moment your mood is pretty good.
Okay.
And probably suggesting that you're not somebody who struggles a whole lot with a negative mood, because most of the time the positive side is more active than the negative side, although maybe it's Lucy.
I guess I'll try to worry about something.
How about the debt ceiling debate? That'll make a guy negative.
Man, I just must be a lot more pleasant a person than I thought I was.
You're a happy dude.
So how long would a patient sit here and work on this?
Typically the sessions are half an hour. So, as you can imagine, that gets a little bit boring, staring at those lines and listening to those tones. But this kind of training, just like training your body, requires lots of repetition.
To put it one way, Are you just kind of telling teens to be happy?
Not really. We are helping their brains find out how to be happy.
Professor, thank you so much for showing this to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, Carrie, it turns out that I'm apparently way less miserable than I thought I was.
That's a nice thing to find out.
I know, but you did this too. How'd you do?
I was actually just fascinated by seeing my brain at work, like seeing it in real time, actually, you know, sort of responding to what was going on in my head. And yeah, I was actually not particularly depressed either, I don't think, in the tiny little taste I got.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we should say a few things. First, Hirschberg says that this is 2 to 3 years away from becoming an alternative therapy for depression that you could ask your doctor for, and it's 8 to 10 years away from being fully proven to the point where it could be considered a first line treatment along with talk therapy and drugs. But this has got to be an attractive option for some people, no?
Well, it does have the advantage of being completely non-invasive. If it works, that's what they need to figure out.
Yeah, the one side effect that Dr. Hirschberg mentioned to me was that it could sometimes give people sleeping problems because it kind of activates your brain. It really kind of wakes you up. What did your readers say about it on Common Health?
Well, we've gotten quite an interesting collection of comments in response. There were the usual people who kind of denigrate depression as a problem, kind of saying, oh, you just need to accentuate the positive. These kids need to get outside. But clearly, depression is a very real problem, and any new therapy would be great. Then we have sort of a mixture between people who say, biofeedback has worked well for me, and I think that neurofeedback is promising. But then there was also a guy who was super skeptical, and he said, speaking of Dr. Hirschberg, oh, he's obviously onto something, just like the inventor of the 100-year-old electromagnetic plug-in vest I found in my grandfather's attic. It was supposed to cure people of all kinds of maladies. Come up with a supposed cure for an illness that responds well to placebo interventions, throw in a lot of techno-science gobbledygook, and sell it to dumb Americans. So he was super skeptical. But on the other hand, there are testimonials from people who have tried biofeedback and found that it worked.
Well, interestingly, they're apparently having trouble finding teens to participate in the study. They're offering, you know, 20 free sessions of treatment, and only two kids have signed up. So I guess if anybody out there is interested in enrolling their teen, we'll have a link to this research project and also your Common Health piece at RadioBoston.org. Carrie Goldberg, thanks so much.
Thank you, Adam. Glad to know your brain is there.
Aren't we all?
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, well, a couple of things we said we're going to do today, but hey, news got in the way. We're going to check in on the Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals and festival founder George Ween. That's tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.